This podcast is brought to you by the Alien Soda Company, your connection to pop culture and paranormal-themed merch. AlienSodaCompany.shop for all things out of this world.
All right, on this episode of the Paranormal Mind Podcast, we are going to be talking about the infamous Travis Walton abduction.
Oh, I love this one.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Paranormal Mind Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
What did he say? Hey.
What's happening? Wow. You threw a curveball.
Are you having a stroke?
Yes. Did you get stirb comped?
Yeah. Did you get stirb comped?
No.
I'm going to have to stirb comp you right
so
now.
So I thought it was this bottom right one because I can't read.
I know that already.
But I frantically just started hitting buttons at that point.
So stirb comp, he was talking about how he was wanting to curb stomp
somebody
and said stirb comped instead. So now we need a t-shirt.
I'm that frazzled.
You're that frazzled. It's okay, man. We gotta breathe. What is a breathing technique where you just take in a deep breath for like as long as you can, 10 seconds or something like that?
Yeah.
Count to 10. Exhale. It's all going to be good.
It's like Lamaze.
It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, like Lamaze. Like you're giving birth.
People just need to quit talking shit about people.
That's never going to happen, though. That's the problem.
It isn't, but you like... Know?
That's the unfortunate part.
It's stupid.
Why are you grabbing your butt?
My phone was going off.
He's so popular. Are they talking about you? Are they texting you talking bad about you, too?
Oh, no. Thankfully, like, there are vastly more people that enjoy me than there are that like...
That's very true. You're pretty great. I'm
that,
a fan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan.
Okay.
That like to just talk shit for the sake of talking shit.
There's a lot of that, man. And you know what? You know what's unfortunate about that is what I think, honestly, is like these people are so miserable with themselves.
That's what
like,
I think
there's
about
a, there's a lot of internal struggle with them. They're not happy with themselves or where they're at that they... It's a projection, like they got to project it on somebody else. Or it's one of those things where it's like misery loves company. So if this person is equally as miserable as me, then I feel
then
better.
Then I've done it. Yeah.
I feel better because these people are on equal
It's disheartening
playing field.
Because it's still like, even though I understand that and I agree completely, it still hurts and it's unwanted like stress on people whenever you go and talk shit about them.
Yeah. Well, it definitely hurts, but my thing is, it's like, I hate even saying that it hurts sometimes because it gives them power.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it gives them the upper hand. But my thing is, human and we feel and we have emotions and stuff, so I get it. But
part of me is like, if you know me, then I largely try to just stay in my lane about things and about my life, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when you make like public statements about me to other people,
you
I'm
get
like,
stirb comped.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
You'll get well, stirb comped.
Look, I'm sorry, Josh. Okay, what else do I have to say?
I've told you sorry 50 times today.
No, man, it hurts.
No, you get to hear about it as I do with you.
Well, so it hurts like, me when like people talk about you or people talk about anybody that I care about is like, you know.
Like you don't even know the person.
Especially if you know the, like I know you and yeah. I know, you know, people close to me. So if things are being said that's not accurate or not true, it kind of it rubs me the wrong way too.
I'm just like, good or bad, man, at the bottom of it all is that like I really try and make my problems my own problems. You know what I mean? So like I'm not asking anybody to have an opinion of me otherwise.
Yeah. Well, and again, like I said, these people that are doing this
that's
stuff,
true.
They're miserable themselves.
That's
and it's,
true.
And really, ultimately, the more that they continue talking the way they do, the more they're going to stay complacent in the same spot they're in and they're never going to get anywhere. So it's,
I feel bad.
At the end of the day, you got to feel worse for them because
people are going to hear these podcasts and are going to immediately be commenting us and be like, who are we fighting?
Yeah. But you know what? We take the high road.
We do. We do always,
because ultimately, like I said,
unfortunately,
they're in a worse place than we are.
Oh, so. Yeah.
And
I know.
At the end of the day, it's like I've have pity on them a little.
So what people don't see on the background of all of that stuff is like we have like real things that we struggle with. Like, you know, you just had to do a washer and dryer, just broke at your house.
Yep.
I just had to repair a hot water heater yesterday that flooded everywhere while I was doing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, things happen. Right. And it's like, you don't, I don't need this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so what can you, as everybody that are watching and listening, what you can do that we're learning, it's a work in
progress
all the time.
Sure.
But what you can do is shrug off all that
negativity,
that stuff that isn't going to serve you in the end game. If it's not going to serve you, you need to cast it aside.
That's right.
And that's something, trust me, I'm learning.
Yeah, me too.
That's something that I'm learning. I mean, me and you talk on a daily basis about that stuff.
Yeah, I have a lot more knowledge today than I did before on, you know, who I want to be and the things that are important to me. And yeah, sure, I'm sure that I'll be 38 years old this year. I'm sure in those 38 years, I have gone and I have said something about somebody and I shouldn't have.
I know I have. I can 100% say that I have.
Yeah.
And you know what? Those actions that I've taken is I have to pay for myself.
Right. It's a reflection of you, right?
It's a reflection of me, yeah. And unfortunately, I have done that.
Yeah.
I have made judgment calls about people without really knowing all the facts. And it's, I've talked about them when I shouldn't have.
Right.
And then I wonder, well, why are these people talking about me? Well, it's like,
why.
It comes back. If it's years later, it comes back. And it comes back with a vengeance. So it's something that we got to learn. And maybe these people that are talking the way they are, maybe they're on that journey and maybe they will learn and maybe they never will. But I have learned that there's a lot of people that are on that path that never, once they're in adulthood, they never.
That's my problem.
They never
like, man, I'm like 38 years old now. I have long since hung that kind of mentality up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just like, what? Protect our peace. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Is that
that's more important than anything. Mantra. And I'm with Mandy on that. Mandy was talking about that before. I'm putting her on the spot. She was talking about that before we hit record. But it resonates with me because that's been kind of like a mantra of mine for a little while now. Is like protecting my peace is more important than anything else.
It's so important.
Because we were talking about this before we started, but life is so short. Like, we could, you know, knock on wood, we can die tomorrow.
Right.
And like, we do not know. Freakish things happen. Mm-hmm. Accidents happen. Your time to go sometimes is whenever your time to go is. And
why would you waste a single minute?
Exactly. We waste time on minuscule talking about other people.
Yeah.
Being jealous of where they're at in
life.
Which
is insane.
Worrying about what they're doing.
Who cares?
What do they say?
You know, I feel like
they say in
jealousy is a natural behavior. But like, if you're truly jealous about things, go do them. Nobody's stopping you but you.
And also worrying, you know what I mean? You suffer twice.
Yeah, that is true. I told you, I was telling you that you're trying to pay for a problem that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, you're borrowing on something that
tomorrow's troubles.
Right, exactly. But think about this: you worry about all this stuff, or you're. You let your jealousy run rampant, right? And then you die tomorrow. Was any of that shit worth it? None of it was worth it. You just wasted a whole bunch of time and emotions for nothing.
Like, you went to the UK, and when you came back, I was like, dude, I'm so jealous of you, but I mean that in like the best way possible.
Yeah,
now.
It's a compliment. Where it's like, it's very cool that you got to do
that
it.
That is super cool, right?
Yeah.
That you got to go do an event in the UK. But I use that jealousy as like a drive to just do better,
but not just that. You know what true friends do in those moments, though? Like, I got to do that, but I'm like, okay, in 2024, let's make pointed trips.
Yeah.
Let's do it where we're both benefiting off of that, because you want to see people that are in your circle and around you. You want to see them succeed. You don't give a shit if they're a little level up on you, dude, or whatever. It doesn't matter.
I'm proud that you are, man. I'm proud that you are.
Well, what did you say?
You guys
what
are
did
gonna you make me cry.
What did you say? It's a rising tide.
The rising tide lifts all boats.
If you ever wonder if I listen to anything you say.
Yeah, that is like a mantra I make our nieces remember too. Like when I took the trash out yesterday and she's in the middle of something.
Yeah.
What does a rising tide do? And they're like, okay, well, that means that the trash doesn't need to be taken out in our household. So I will do it. And everybody benefits from not having an overflowing trash can or whatever.
But he said that you said that, but you know, it's so true. Like that explains our relationship a lot. Oh, too. Like a rising tide. So with the Holzer Files, I've been blessed with that. I've been blessed with the 28 Days Haunted. You have done Darkness in Suburbia. You're going to be doing more things. I know we're going to do more things in the future. But in the meantime, my success is your success. Whenever we're doing the Searcher stuff, we are in this together. Mm-hmm. So if I'm elevated, you're coming along with
that. I know. And you know, dude, like...
Being jealous of you going to the UK is not a negative.
It's not
like
a negative
we're proud
thing.
Of you.
I'm
so I would
proud.
Die.
All I know is that's going to happen for us.
I know.
Yeah.
Together.
Say it out loud. That, you know,
that's exactly
it.
What you told me when I said it, and I was like, "Man, I don't." I mean, I say it, and like jealousy immediately comes with like a connotation, if you will. But like, that's not how I mean it.
But I know when you say you're jealous, I know it's not like
it's not.
Oh fuck you, Shane.
I wish you didn't do it. No, it's like this is so freaking cool. And I'm so jealous.
I mean, I told you were worried about a lot of stuff before you left, and I was like, man, you need to go there and like enjoy and have fun.
That's the thing that not a lot of people get to do.
And I will tell you too, like I wasn't excited.
I know you were.
Initially, I was not excited to go because. Like a lot of people say, oh, you get to go and travel and you get to do this stuff.
It's exhausting.
What they don't realize is it's draining. I'm so blessed and humbled to be able to do this stuff, but it is sometimes so draining on you that, and you don't get to be home.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's tough.
Yeah. I mean, like I told you, and it's something that I really, when we went out to South Dakota and getting to use, Horn Paranormal's UTV to just drive the highway. You know what I mean? It's those glimpses and times where you have to remind yourself that this is cool.
Things are good.
What we're doing
is
fucking cool.
We're blessed.
You're blessed. You're fortunate. And this does not help. And I'm not saying that this is like something that people should think because not everybody can think this way. But you guys live a life that people would kill for.
I know.
Even with your problems, even with things you worry about, there are people who would kill to have your problems. And I can look at the world that way and make myself happy even on days where I'm not.
Yeah.
Other people can't. And that's fine. You know, I'm not saying.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard. Like, should. I mean, I have this weird like thing of like you can't discount somebody's problems
right,
because
exactly.
you don't view them as
because
like,
they're not as bad as somebody else's
as
they're
bad
still
as yours.
Problems
I think that's
right?
just like a that you can't baseline that, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
And these people that wish they were in our position and stuff, that it's not a gloating thing for us.
No,
like, no.
Whenever we say we don't discredit the privileges that we get that
no.
we get to do and
yeah.
all of the blessings that we were able to do and get to meet people from all walks of life and get to share our stories with strangers.
I don't think people understand, you know? Like when we go out and meet people or they see us and they're like, man, I watch your guys' stuff on YouTube, or hey, I've seen you on the Holzer Files or 28 Days Haunted, or I've listened to the Paranormal Mind podcast, which has been a new thing.
Yeah.
As like, I doubt myself on a daily basis. So hearing that stuff, I will leave those situations and immediately text Mandy or call Mandy. I'm like, they actually recognized me and enjoyed the Paranormal Mind podcast. Or
me and you both have a very big problem of imposter syndrome.
Oh, for sure. But like,
we do because I like, and some people think, oh, well, Shane gloats and does all this stuff and promotes this and that and blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I'm just thankful that people like to
do so. Yeah.
To watch our stuff and to
it just means that like because it all takes work and it's work that we share publicly for people, so it's to have people, even if it's like one or two people in a group, be like out of the blue, yeah, I know who you are, I listened to your podcast, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm glad that they enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I get to go to Virginia City, Nevada next week.
Which is, that's awesome.
Which is for like the fourth or fifth time.
Dude, but the thing
show club.
The thing that's
cool.
crazy about that, and it happens at a lot of our events, it's that there are people that went to that event last time that you were there with that are going back this time because it is so life-changing for them too.
Yeah. It's not about just me getting
crazy.
It's the people having the experience that is.
I get like almost teary eyed when we went to the Gothic Jail this year and like everybody coming in with searcher shirts on and everything. It's like,
yeah, you talk about a surreal moment.
It's so weird.
Try being the person who designed those shirts.
I know.
That's freaking cool too.
That is cool. But yeah, I mean, there was almost over half that had searcher shirts,
which is
on.
Insane, right?
Yeah.
So like if you go 2 years prior to that, nobody would have had them. And these are people that we recognize today that have been at several events of ours. It's so like it gives me goosebumps now thinking about it. Like
we're blessed and I'm thankful.
Yeah.
I have this one guy that, you know, the old poor Shane shirts, he goes and gets pictures with like Jack Osborne.
That's awesome.
And all these people saying, hey, I brought Shane along, and like, aww, get pictures to send to me. And I'm like, because I told him when he first got it, I was like, look, this is cool. I'll sign it for you and everything. Yeah. All you got to do is whenever you wear it, go meet the most famous person
that
you can meet.
Yeah.
And take a picture so
that's
you can
awesome.
Bring me along.
That's
so
awesome.
He does that. But it's a blessing. It's not like a gloating thing for us.
No, for sure.
We're blessed to be able to. You're right. Like there's a lot of people that wish they were in our position. And sometimes I take that for granted because
I think everybody does.
Because I worry about things in my life. But then I'm like, you know what? I really get to do some
really cool things.
Very
and
cool things.
You like one thing that everyone takes for granted who has it, you have the health to be able to do all of it, even.
Well,
you know?
Somewhat. I do.
I mean, there are people who can't get out of bed.
I worry
you know,
about
like,
that
there are
too.
People with
like,
chronic illnesses where they can't.
That's
do
true.
Half the
How long
you
can
that's
we true. Keep doing it? That's the other part of that.
Well, we got to be positive in that approach.
For sure.
Like, yeah, I struggle with a lot of people don't know. I struggle with like arthritis and stuff, and a lot of that's my own doing. I haven't gone to the doctor for it. So, but at the same time, like it could be worse. It could be one of those situations where I'm bedridden.
Yeah.
And I can't move at all. So you're right. Like there's a lot of things we really take for granted that we need to reflect and take a moment to be like, you know what? We're very blessed.
I know,
Josh,
man,
all the
like,
time.
As people, we've grown so much.
We have.
Especially in searchers and like what
searchers has grown exponentially.
It's insane. And just like our behaviors about everything too have grown, and it's.
And I tell him all the time, if you are looking for something to be negative, you will always find it.
Well, how many times during our talks too
that we talk about all this to other people?
We say it, but sometimes we kind of let it skim over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll say like we think even in the paranormal that it's all about intention. So 9 times out of 10, if you're going and you're looking for positive things, you're 9 times out of 10 going to find positive aspects of a situation. But if you go in looking for the negative, you're going to find negative. Yep. Just like what you just said. And we say this how many times? Whenever we are...
You're in it.
It's so
like,
easy for us to like talk from experience because we feel like we're making it... We hope at least that we're making it better for the people that are receptive of hearing it, right? But then we go home and we beat ourselves to death. We should be listening to it.
And I tell people this all the time. Like, they call me Pastor Shane because I get on a soapbox whenever I talk sometimes. But I tell people, too, in the same breath that I'm preaching to myself.
Yeah. No,
so
I mean, a lot
of time, I know whenever I'm feeling in a low, like I'm in a low spot and there's things that I'm dealing with that I know there's other people out there that could hear that could benefit from motivating words like you can get through this. It's going to be okay. These thoughts that you're hearing are lies. They're not the truth. Like whenever I'm telling y'all that, a lot of times I'm dealing with something personally myself that I'm having
to
tell myself.
Like always 100% the case for me. I made a couple of posts this week about stuff, and you know, a lot of it resonates with, you know, people talking shit about everybody all the time, and it was like, you know, if people would just learn to just be treat other people fairly and like don't try to control what is good for them or right for them. Just
WWHSS. What would Harry Styles say?
I don't know.
Treat people with kindness.
Yeah. I mean,
That's all you have to do.
Forget what would Jesus do?
What would Harry Styles say?
I mean, it's like just do.
But seriously, like why do you have to go out of your way to be hateful or rude or mean? Just be nice or be quiet.
Well, and again,
just be nice or be quiet.
Well, people that are struggling tell you what their struggles are. So don't just think you know.
Yeah.
Listen to them.
Right. And, and what we talked about in the very beginning, like if you're hateful or you make a snide comment and then you die 20 minutes later, do you really want to leave that? You really want to leave that sort of legacy behind that you were a piece of shit?
Yeah.
For your last moments.
So my nieces, I have two like words of wisdom quotes that I always tell them. One is the rising tide lifts all boat. And the other one is when someone tells you who they are, believe them. And I like I hope that that resonates and stays with them because there are genuine people who are going to be in your life and stay in your life and want to fulfill your life and add to your joy. There are other people who are going to want to leech off of you and make it worse and make things awful. They've shown you who they are. Listen.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen to them.
Now you listen, but you know, they can show you a version of themselves and then they can change that version of themselves. Can. So you need to listen consistently too. Like there's some people that, end up that, were pieces of shit at one time or another that have changed their ways too. So I think you consistently listen to
believe them when they show you who they are.
Right.
Hey, a relationship changes, can be fixed by an apology. It's an apology away. You know what I mean? And it isn't even about like thinking that you're I don't think that I'm necessarily deserving of an apology sometimes. It's more about of just acknowledge that what it was is what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, and move on and move from on the crap.
Because if like you don't do that, then like that means you just didn't find it important when you said it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, we've been on some preaching.
I know. I'm like, we haven't even gotten to.
I mean, we're what, 20 something minutes in? I
know. It's crazy to me.
At Paranormal Investigations. As producer, do I tell them?
It's like, so the podcast starts at 21 minutes and whatever.
I did not want to like interrupt the love fest, but.
Well, sometimes people need to hear this. Like, yeah, that's for sure. And if they don't want to hear it and they want to skip, fine.
Yeah.
But there's some people out there that are going to listen and be like, you know what? Yeah, I need to hear this or whatever. Like the right people, the reason we're talking about it for a reason. There's a reason.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if it's just for us.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
even
better
if it's
it.
On the podcast, even if it's for us, I mean, we needed to get it off our chest. So
exactly.
And there's some podcasts out there that are 3 or 4 hours long. So y'all could deal with like 20 something minutes.
And y'all put George Bailey to sleep.
Most people.
Is that the snoring?
It.
Is that him?
Can you hear him?
Yeah.
He's snoring.
I was like, is Mandy hungry? Is it her stomach?
And then my buddy snoring.
No, he's over here. He's done giving it up for the day.
Sorry, listeners. Patreon can see him.
Yeah. Patreon.com/searchers. Believe
if you don't buy it for us, buy it for the dog.
That's right.
For George
he
Bailey.
Is sweet. He is a cute one. But all anyway, right, we're talking about Travis Walton. So buckle your seatbelts because today we're going
to
dive
We've
deep.
Been in the room with him.
We're going to dive deep down the rabbit hole and talk about something that'll make your hair stand straight up, unless you're Dave Schrader and
have no hair.
Like his goatee may ruffle a little bit.
Love you, Dave.
Nah. No, I'm kidding. I love him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So I've got a story that sounds like it's straight out of a science fiction movie, and it's all about a dude named Travis Walton. And we've met him. We've seen him. Yeah. He's an interesting character. So for those who might not be familiar, Travis Walton is this forestry worker guy. And back in November 1975, he claimed he got snatched up by a UFO while he was chopping down trees with his buddies in the Apache Sitgreave. Mandy, you're the
Apache Sitgravis.
Sitgravis National Forest over in Arizona.
Arizona. Gotcha.
Or Sitgreaves.
Sitgreaves, yeah. That might be it.
I want to go there one day and just I wonder if you can go to the
see
spot
if we can
where
be
they
abducted.
Were.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I gloated about a lot of that when we went out to Oregon, but then I was like low key afraid to go to sleep that night.
Yeah.
It's like, look, is this really going to happen?
What was it called? The fourth kind?
Oh, yeah.
I could not sleep.
After that? Oh, yeah. Well, no, but in Oregon, there's like a population of 200, maybe because all of them have been abducted.
Well, that one takes place in like Nome, where there's like population 13
people. Oh, yeah. Good God. And no. All right, so check this out. Travis goes missing, right? And the local cops, they put on this big manhunt trying to find him. And for 5 days, this dude is off the grid, completely missing in action. Then out of nowhere, Travis rings up his sister from a payphone in the middle of the night, talking about how he's back from his little extraterrestrial escapade.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, here's where it gets kind of juicy, all right? Travis and his crew, they flip this story into cash, selling it to the National Enquirer. So it's a tabloid your grandma reads, of course, in the checkout line. And guess what? They even win some money for best UFO case of the year, because why not? So a lot of people think, okay, they flip it into cash and they're just trying to profit. But then you dive deep into some of the story, and it is weird. And some of the stuff that he says is
I think people need to understand that this is probably not a ton of money. They probably got some money from it, but
well, when you sell to tabloids, it could be a decent lump sum of cash.
But I'm sure it's short lived.
$5,000 maybe. Yeah, short lived. But the plot thickens when Travis writes this book, The Walton Experience. Okay, and Hollywood turns it into a movie called Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky.
Now this thing absolutely blows up, right? It's everywhere. Mainstream media, TV shows, and you bet podcasts just like this one.
Yep.
All right. But hold on to your hats. There's a bunch of people, even those who dig UFO stories, that call BS on the whole thing. All right. They say that Travis and his buddies were known for pulling pranks and were big UFO fans, especially after watching a TV movie about another alien abduction just weeks before Travis's little adventure. Yep. Now, let's paint the picture a little bit more. Before all this alien stuff, Travis Walton and his logging crew, they're on the clock to thin out some trees. They're under the gun with this tough deadline, and if they don't make the cut, they're facing a big penalty. So people think the UFO story might have been their golden ticket, a so-called act of God to save their butts from paying up.
Mm.
Okay, so there's one theory with that.
That's a weird one.
But I got to say that like the timing is wild, though, because right before Travis goes AWOL, he's telling his mom not to sweat it if aliens ever scoop him up. That's like saying,
really?
Yeah, that's like saying, don't worry if I hit the lottery before buying a ticket, and then bam, winning numbers, right?
All right.
So after Travis shows up again, the story goes next level. He says he woke up in an alien space hospital with these bald creatures watching over him. He tried to fight them off until some space aliens with helmets calmed him down, slapped a mask on him, and then poof, lights out until he's wandering along a highway with the UFO buzzing away overhead.
Right.
So what do we make of this? You know, is Travis Walton the ultimate prankster, or did he really take a ride in an intergalactic minivan, so to speak? It's one hell of a story, and it's stuck around like a piece of gum on the bottom of society's shoe. So I want to talk about the media exposure and representation a little bit. So in the wake of Walton's alleged UFO encounter, he and his fellow workers were granted a $5,000 reward by the National Enquirer for the best UFO case of the year. So it was $5,000. Yeah. All right.
So do you know how much he took home of that and how much they got? Because I can tell you how much money he made.
Oh, no. How much?
So he got a $2,500 check, and then the six others got $2,500 to split.
Okay.
In today's money, he would have pocketed, or gotten pre-tax, of course, $14,296.57.
Wow.
First off, that's disgusting that is what that equates to now today. Yeah.
And then the guys who split it was $416 each, which right today would be pre-tax $2,378.95 in like today's inflation money.
So
not small.
No, it's not small at all. So that's something that we need to consider whenever we're listening to this.
Hey, this is as awesome as I like this case, this is all news to me about them even
winning money. And I found a photo of them holding their checks up from a newspaper.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the National Enquirer, they they pay all kinds of people outlandish stories. Can't be that much. It was that much.
Oh yeah, it was a lot. That's what I was saying back then. It was a good lump of change, yeah, for sure.
But also, can we just talk about the fact that they had a contest for best UFO story?
Yeah, it was a best UFO case of the year, having reportedly passed lie detector tests arranged by both the Inquirer and the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization.
I think they all have, right?
Yep.
At this point.
So Jim Ledwith, a UFO researcher, stated, for 5 days, he was presumed a murder victim by his workmates, and then he reappeared. Ledwith also noted, every colleague present during the sighting of the UFO underwent polygraph tests, and all but one passed. His results were inconclusive.
Didn't he go back and do another one and pass it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, you know.
That's weird, though.
Is it true? Is it not? We don't know.
So, I do want to make a point on this. Like, yeah, can you fabricate those?
They say if you can control your heart rate, it's something to do with your heart rate. So you can. I mean, they're not, well, I don't know think that I'm capable necessarily.
Yeah, they're not admissible in court. But here's another thing, too. Like, there's some people, like, they even say that our memories, right, are 50% fabricated.
Yeah.
They can be,
They're not fabricated, but they're 50% embellished.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well that's why unintentionally.
They say stories
right.
are like.
Unintentionally.
That's why they say, like, there's. Your side, my side, and the truth,
right.
Because everyone perceives their experiences differently. We're all sitting in the same room talking about the same thing. And tomorrow, if you ask one of
people,
us, the story will be different.
It's like the game of telephone. Like you can tell somebody something, they'll go and they'll embellish
change
it a little
one
bit,
word.
Change it,
right.
And it changes the whole,
yeah.
the whole
yeah.
topic
And that's not
of
even like an insidious.
That's a good point, though, because we talk about this kind of stuff about, like, I don't think people truly understand how, when you say the word truth, how complicated right. that really is.
And it doesn't have to be an insidious way. It's just like people's memories are weird.
No, so you have
that's
to
like
worry.
I'm not trying
you worry
to change
less
it.
About like yeah. whether or not it is factually true and more about the intention behind it. And that goes right. back to what we always talk about is like, okay, so if they pass lie detector tests, I think statistically, if they were nefarious about it and didn't actually believe they experienced what they experienced, they would have, at least one of them would have failed. Like,
well, one where it was inconclusive.
Yeah, but they would have shown deceit
right.
in yeah. their yeah. answers. But that same exact person, years later, took it again, and even years later, passes it.
Yeah. Now, however, there's skeptics that point to the story as an archetype of a UFO fabrication, inflated by an uncritical media frenzy, which Walton allegedly exploited for financial benefits. UFO investigator Philip J. Klass contended that Walton's account was a crafted hoax motivated by profit and cited multiple inconsistencies in the narratives of Walton and his coworkers. Klass's investigation led him to report that the polygraph examinations were inadequately conducted, accusing Walton of using strategies to skew the results, such as breath holding, and pointing out a previously failed test that an examiner believed indicated clear deception.
Mm.
In literature and film, Walton's 1978 book, The Walton Experience, which outlines his version of events, was adapted into the 1993 movie Fire in the Sky. However, the producers at Paramount Pictures found Walton's account to be indistinct and overly familiar when compared to other alien encounter stories, prompting them to direct screenwriter Tracy Torme, I believe it is,
yeah.
to conceive a more sensational narrative. On the day Fire in the Sky premiered, Walton and his crew chief, Mike Rogers, were guests on the CNN program Larry King Live alongside Philip J.
That is Klaus. Crazy. That is crazy.
Walton has maintained a presence in the UFO community, hosting the Skyfire Summit UFO conference in Arizona, and making various media appearances, including on the Fox game show, The Moment of Truth, and the Joe Rogan Experience podcast.
Oh, I'd like to see that, actually.
Most recently, he was featured on the television series How To with John Wilson. So the controversy, the Walter Rogers controversy, let's talk about that. That was in 2021. A public rift emerged when Mike Rogers took to Facebook to renounce his role as a witness to Walton's alleged abduction. So the crew chief renounced his role in the whole experience.
When did this happen?
2021. Later stating his frustrations over Walton's secrecy regarding a film remake and doubting Walton's honesty. Following a leaked recorded conversation with producer Ryan Gordon, in which Rogers discussed staging a UFO hoax, the two reconciled and Rogers retracted his alleged confession. Which is
interesting.
Weird. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if that is... Yeah. I don't know. His motives behind that are deceitful anyway.
Yep.
So, like, what do you believe on that, you know?
Right. So, here's some contemporary perspectives on the Walton case, okay? So, Mike Rogers and the Waltons were known UFO enthusiasts with a family penchant for practical jokes, leading some to suspect their involvement in a hoax. Additionally, there have been criticisms of how the National Enquirer presented the polygraph results, suggesting a selective disclosure that favored the narrative of honesty while overlooking the significant evidence of deception. In comparing Walton's account with typical alien abduction reports, it stands out due to the lack of common elements like paralysis or recovered memories. Some have proposed that this deviation from the norm, along with the duration and witness involvement, make Walton's case unique. Critics like Philip J. Klass highlighted that in 1975, a standard UFO abduction template did not exist.
Yeah, well, I'm just sitting here thinking how crazy it is that we have like a... I'm not a UFOologist.
UFOologist.
UFOology.
Clearly.
Ufology, yeah.
If you don't believe that you do now. It's crazy that there's like a template. I'm sitting here thinking like... this doesn't add up. Like, there's these characteristics that his case doesn't have. It's fake.
Yeah. It's weird, man. But there's got to be some sort of basis that
there's a base,
really good actor
on.
Too, though, because he had like, he was.
Yeah.
We saw like a panel that he did, and he played some of Fire in the Sky and read some excerpts from his book.
I just want to be clear, back then at least, because this was at Scarefest 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's not very sociable. I don't know what he's like today, but so don't paint this picture of like he's like in it for the media.
He's mastermind.
He's very unique. I will say that.
Yeah.
So there's a fire lookout tower theory. Okay. A speculation about the use of the Gentry fire lookout tower has been brought forth by skeptics as a possible element in orchestrating the hoax. The suggestion is that the crew took an alternate route home on the night of the incident, which passed the lookout tower, allowing for the staging of a spotlight illusion to simulate a UFO encounter. This hypothesis points to the possibility of premeditated deception and manipulation of the event site. So this is just the tip of the iceberg of the story. Just wanted to talk about this and wanted to get your thoughts on it. I know that we've spent about 20 something minutes talking about other stuff. But what are your thoughts? So I know that y'all have met him. What are your thoughts on
it? He is a, back then, correct me if I'm wrong, he was a very timid guy.
Yeah. I couldn't believe he was able to stand up and talk in front
socially
of a room.
Awkward.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah. He still is.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him since then, so I couldn't speak today on his behaviors. Secondly, they all had to be, when he went missing, didn't the rest of them have to go give a statement to the police? And they all matched, right?
And reportedly they were frantic and all this stuff.
So if I remember the way the story goes, is they all saw something, they left and got back in the car, and he did not go with them, is what I remember. And so they leave to come back down, I guess, the mountain or wherever they were.
Yeah.
Knowing that they left him up there, and they actually went back for him afterwards, or at least they claimed they did, and he wasn't there.
Right.
The timing, though. This happens to happen as the National Enquirer is running a craziest UFO story. Is
true. Absolutely. Yeah.
I never knew about that.
I didn't either.
I just thought he sold the story.
I didn't know that they were enthusiasts prior to this either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, suddenly you get abducted as there's now, money.
But this is what we were talking about like on a previous episode, right? So we weren't there.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
No, we weren't born.
There's things that seem odd about it. But at the same time, like unless there's pretty good facts presented, we can only speculate as to if this is a real event or not.
Yeah.
I can tell you what, man, knowing what I know, and then when I sat there and listened to his talk and just seeing how he is with people, I was like, something's happened to this dude.
Yeah, like he seemed like he had some severe PTSD or something. Like something he was terrified talking about it.
Something don't add up, man.
Which, I mean, I would be too.
Yeah.
Anybody would be.
But here's the thing. Would you be, if your intent was to gain all of that attention by this whole experience?
Well, if you're waiting on the other shoe to drop or to be found out, then yeah, you're gonna look socially awkward. You're gonna look very nervous talking about it because it's like, oh crap, now I gotta keep up this narrative of.
But part of me is like, okay, if you're really worried about that, then just don't do any appearances.
Right, but think about it. Okay, so what if this was not legitimate, right? What was the motivating factor to begin with?
I know it is kind of weird that they were enthusiasts. It's kind of weird about the National Enquirer.
Not just that, but the money, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, and what did these event appearances do? They give you those little bit of pocket change that keeps you going, right? So not saying that, again, this was fabricated and not discrediting his story, but if you were just playing devil's advocate, if your primary motivation was, oh, let's show the best UFO case of the year. But in the meantime, they got like in that times money, $14,000 is nothing to bat an eye at.
No, that's a good bit of money.
And so if you can continue making that pocket change, that could be a motivation for continuing on the narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose there's a certain type of people out there that would, you know, lie be damned, they'll run it until they can't run it.
Well, and you think about this along the way, so you build relationships and you network with people that are UFO enthusiasts, right?
Yeah.
So if you say, oh, all of it was bullshit, then in turn, you're also in a way discrediting all these other enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of tarnishing their name in the process as well. So once you're like deep into it, it kind of makes it to where it's kind of muddy waters at that point. It's kind of, you know,
for sure. I feel that way about like paranormal encounters as well, not just, you know, alien abduction cases or even UFO sightings. You know what I mean? There's a certain amount of that. Like, I mean, you either believe it or you don't, but you can't really like crucify anyone.
No, unless you know,
in that field,
unless you
it's
know,
really
100%.
Difficult. Yeah.
Well,
now you can point out inconsistencies, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, if you are in this UFO world, right, and you are, I don't know if they did any of this, but if you're talking constantly to other UFO enthusiasts, you can kind of craft the perfect UFO story based on their experiences. Ooh, this is something that they would never bat an eye at. Ooh, this is something that would be believable in the ufology world. Yeah. You know,
well, the same could be said in the paranormal.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
exactly.
But you know, and this is the thing that's kind of frustrating. Like, so this is why a lot of people that are not into our genre and into, you know, that the interest that we have is because there are people that fabricate. There are people, not saying that they have, but there are people that do that kind of discredits everything. It kind of tarnishes what we're trying to do and why we're in it and the experiences that we've had. Now we're having to play. We have to double up on our, like trying to prove what our experiences were.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that can be exhausting.
It's spinning a wheel. It's like we're spinning our wheels in a lot of ways. In any sort of progression of who or what are we talking to and or why are these experiences happening? Instead of focusing on that, we're having to double down on well, this experience was valid because of this, or I'm proving that this is where I was at this time, and then blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And it's kind of taking away from our primary objective of what we're trying to do in the field.
Anyway. Right.
It's so
that's true.
It's crazy. But then, you know, like, it's good to see those that are fraudulent, because then you can warn people of, mm-hmm. okay, beware of, this is what you need to look for. This is, you know, what you need to do. But it's just, like I said, a spinning wheels, because then you could be as authentic as possible and say, okay, this was a real experience. But then you spend all of your time having to try to prove it instead of.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think this day and age, like, if I warn people about other people, it's because I worry about how are they going to take advantage of you, and are they going to harmfully take advantage of you at least? And are they
profiting off the story?
Are they just not good people?
Right.
Like, I don't really think about, like, there's probably a plethora of people out there that are like faking things.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Yeah. I don't really like, I can just act on like who I have seen from experience, or like, are they good people to be around? Mm-hmm. Do they uphold like a certain standard of like, what's the word? Do they uphold themselves a little bit, you know, and set themselves apart in that nature? And like, are they going to cause you any problems? That's what I think about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and that's another thing that we can go back to with the Travis Walton thing. So like, if for what, and not saying he is, but like, if he was being deceptive, you got to think about this. There was a movie made about it, about the story. Then he had a book. So, like, if he comes out and says, oh, it was all fabricated, so, like, people can probably sue for damages. And be, like, true. That's hey, true, you know what? Man. We bought your book, and it's all fake, and
we paid you for this.
We watched your movie. We watched the movie that was, you know.
That's a good point.
So, like, even if there was a, like, a deceptive bone in his body, he's too far in now to step away.
Webs you weave, man.
But again, it could be all factual too. We don't know. This is the thing. Like, we can speculate all day long. We can point out maybe some possible inconsistencies, but unless we were there, or unless there was a way that we could somehow scientifically prove that whether it was accurate or not, and what we could do as far as what we have, the polygraphs, they passed. So, like, we took those steps. So, like,
what do you do? Like
according to a machine that we have, it was showing that he was not deceptive. Yeah, it could be inconsistent. That machine could be inconsistent. But as far as what we have from a scientific approach to prove whether or not he was halfway legitimate, we've already done that. And mm-hmm. it's already proven to be that he wasn't being deceptive.
Exactly.
So we can only do what we can with what we've got. And right now all we can do is take him at his word, point out possible inconsistencies if there are any, and if there's a way in the future to further test the story itself, then we can go there.
Right. But
again, like we've been talking about, we need to give people their voice to speak. And then along the way, if we can disprove it, then we can discredit along the way and take it from there. But I can't say he's fabricating any of this.
I mean, if he was, you know, he goes and does events, he's got, you know, got a movie, got a book and all that stuff. If he was just like a bad person and like outwardly like bad to people, that's one thing. And it's like, nobody should be like that ever. But if he is like, only he knows whether or not, or he and everybody involved knows of what happened.
Yeah.
But if he treats everybody like with respect, then it's kind of just
a wash. Well, that's one way, but you can say the same about televangelists, that like they treat their congregation with a lot of respect and love, but then they're taking millions of dollars from them a year too. So that's like
true. Joel Osteen.
Yeah, we got to
lock in the constituents, locking the congregation out of your mega church when the town is flooding.
Well, see, I think that that's not treating them with respect,
right? Just a little.
Well, but you know, like on the flip side, like he's smiling and you live your best life now and all of this. So
I'm gonna get in my Lamborghini,
right? So like he's showing a level of like, I'm gonna be kind to you, but deep down, he's still.
I'll let you drown.
He's still screwing them in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. right? Kenneth Copeland is another demon in
manipulation
flesh form.
Yeah.
That guy right there has some serious issues. And I can say this because I've been to some of his crusades. I've been to Benny Hinn crusades. I've been to Joel Osteen's church. I've been to Creflo Dollar's church. I've been because I grew up in the church.
Yeah.
So I've seen how they operate. I've seen the cars that they drive, and it's like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So what I'm saying is like, there's a lot of people that present themselves to be good that are really shitty people.
Yeah.
So not saying that that's he's true. That way, but I think we need to look at it at that approach. So you judge them by their fruits. Number one, number two, if you can test their story and the validity of it, then do so, but don't make the accusations without knowing all the facts.
Right.
Like we've been beating that dead horse for a while now.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like I don't want somebody to make judgment calls on me without knowing everything they need to know to make that decision.
No,
and I think we need to afford people the same right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But anyway, that's this episode of the Paranormal Mind Podcast. So Travis Walton incident. We haven't even touched on everything on this, but what we like to do is we like to talk about life stuff and then we want to give you little inklings of stuff so that way you can go and research yourself, because I think it's really important to come to conclusions yourself as well. You can hear a lot about stories on the Paranormal Mind.
Oh yeah.
But it's good to go and research for yourself and try to dig deep and we want to hear your thoughts on
and
this.
As a listener, you may know something that we don't and let us know about it.
Yeah. And just go on Facebook, Twitter, or X or whatever the hell it is now.
You name it.
Instagram, you go find us and give us your viewpoints on it. Patreon members, you know, you always leave us comments and stuff.
Yeah.
So continue doing that. If you have any opinion on it, just chime in. Go check out our sponsor, aliensodacompany.shop, for all things out of this world, all the alien stuff. If you want alien stuff, you can get merch there, Bigfoot, ghosts, all that stuff. And if you want to support us on Patreon and you want to watch the video version of the podcast, as well as participate in monthly giveaways and then two trips a year that we give away, if you want to be a part of that, then go to patreon.com/searchersbelieve. But until the next episode, guys, searchers out.
Be good, y'all.